You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Tim McMaster, going around the American League East, checking in on the battle at the top between the Blue Jays and the Yankees. And of course, the Orioles and Rays continue to hang on to wild card hopes. Let's jump right in with Gregor Chisholm, the Blue Jays reporter. Reporter Gregor Chisholm. And Gregor, I guess first of all, this team back in first place after Tuesday's action, ahead of the Yankees, or I should say back alone in first place, coming off a big weekend series with the Angels. Now they play the Rangers, basically knocking off teams in the AL West. They put the Angels below the Rangers in the standings. They get a great start from David Price in the opener on Friday to get past the Angels. How big was that series to take down a Western team like that in a big series?
It really was a big series for them, and you know, it's a continuation of a recent trend that we've seen. The Blue Jays have had a pretty tough schedule since all the trades were made at the end of July, but they've been able to pass every test along the way. I mean, they handled the Minnesota Twins with ease earlier in the month as well. They handled the Angels with relative ease as well, and they started off strong against the Rangers. So this has been a pretty impressive run that the Jays have gone on for these last 3 weeks. And, these are the type of tests that are going to be good for a team that really expects to make the postseason. And it's improved their spot in the division as well. And that's what the goal is for this team is, there's a lot of questions being asked from the media in Anaheim about the wild card spot. And pretty much everybody on the team kind of stopped those questions pretty quickly and said, we're not worried about the wild card. We're not worried about the Angels. We're focused on the AL East and the Yankees, and that's what they've been doing.
There's been a lot of talk about that Blue Jays offense all season long, but they kind of took it to a new level over the weekend, 36 runs in the three-game series. That actually set a franchise record for a three-game set. They also had 48 hits. Is it possible that this offense is actually getting better?
It's a scary thought. And they're certainly that was the best I've seen them in three games for sure. Obviously, with the franchise record, and it's just a scary proposition when you have to deal with that lineup. I mean, the Angels pitching staff going in. I mean, they were facing some pretty good pitchers in that series as well. I mean, Garrett Richards is no slouch by any stretch of the imagination. So, they're really doing it against some of the top talent as well. Really 1 through 9, it's the overall depth of that lineup that really is impressive. And you're starting to see Troy Tulowitzki start to heat up a little bit as well. I mean, he was struggling earlier this year, but it seems like he's starting to turn a corner, and that could make the lineup even better than it was before.
I was actually going to bring up the fact that on Tuesday night, Tulo comes through with a big game-tying hit late in the game. How much of the struggles that he had been going through, I mean, obviously in his first game with the Blue Jays, he homered and it was at home and there was, the big crowd reaction. But how much of his struggles are just a part of joining a new team in a pennant race and having to adapt to all those changes?
Yeah, I think there has been an adjustment period for him. He was saying after that big game against Texas that, he hasn't changed anything since, he started struggling and appears to be breaking out of it a little bit. He just feels a little bit more relaxed and comfortable now, and it really could be just as simple as that. It's understandable that there would be an adjustment period coming over. I mean, switching leagues, moving to a foreign country, a trade that, really caught him off guard. It wasn't something that he was expecting. All those things can rattle a person a little bit, and psychologically, it might take a little bit to get over that. And I think we're starting to see him, really settle in. And, that game, the series opener against the Rangers, he really came through when it mattered the most. I mean, with that game-tying single when the Blue Jays were down to their final out in the ninth inning. And that's just a remarkable testament to putting him in the leadoff spot as well. Getting an extra at-bat, he came around using him instead of a guy like Ben Revere in the top spot gives the Blue Jays that option. And he came around one more time. And, when you're starting a lineup with Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Nemo Encarnacion, and that's a scary situation for any opposing pitcher.
because of the way the schedule kind of lined up for the Blue Jays, they were able to go to a four-man rotation briefly, and that meant Drew Hutchison going down. He's expected back, I believe, on Saturday. Is there any concerns about him coming back up to the major leagues and settling back into the rotation?
Well, he's someone who really needs to, you know, finish strong. You know, obviously just to give the Blue Jays more production out of this spot in the rotation, but, you know, also just for his own confidence going into the playoffs to maybe try and make a statement for the fact that he should be included in that rotation, and then confidence going into next year as well, because it really has been a disappointing season for him overall. You know, the good news for him is that the two starts that he made in Toronto before getting sent down were probably two of his best starts of the season. So, you know, it looked like maybe he was turning a bit of a corner, although it's such a small sample size, it's hard to read too much into it, but there was, you know, there were some encouraging signs. And, you know, he went down and made one start in the minors. It was more of a tune-up than anything else. You know, he struggled a little bit in that outing, only got through four innings. But the pitch count was low on purpose because it was more just kind of a trial run than anything else. They just wanted to keep him fresh. So he'll come back up, but he has a lot to prove because right now he's clearly ranked fifth out of the Blue Jays starters. And, you know, he's gonna really have to turn things around, and a lot of it for him comes down to command. He's a guy who relies on that, and he's been leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone. That's not something we're used to seeing from him, at least compared to what he did last year. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting final stretch for him to see just where he slots himself into that rotation, closing things out.
Brian, as we head into baseball here on Wednesday, the Yankees find themselves back in second place after a tough one on Tuesday night, giving up 15 runs to the Astros. Injury to insult, CeCe Sabathia to the disabled list with the knee injury. When you look at that injury, what happened, how he left the game, what you've heard, do you expect to see CeCe back on the mound this season?
You know, I'm doubtful about it. He seems encouraged by the fact just that they've told him it's exactly what they thought. It's an arthritic knee. There's no surgery required. Maybe rest can help it. He expressed some confidence that maybe he could be back in the minimum of 15 days. I'm a little skeptical of that, but I believe that would put him on September 8th or so. And so since rosters would be expanded anyway, there's really no harm in activating him from the DL. And then you get into the discussion of what do you do with him? Is he going to come back to the rotation? Is he going to pitch out of the bullpen? And so I think that's all something for another day. I think right now all he's got to do is rest and try and see if he can actually come back. And then you can have that discussion in mid-September when you need to.
When you think of an arthritic knee, you think of, you know, a lot of pain maybe over time. How much pain has he been battling throughout this season?
Yeah, it's been something they've had to manage, and it's something that he'll have to continue to manage because it's really not going to get better. I think the word that Brian Cashman used about it was degenerative. And I mean, this is something that you're talking about, and he's going to probably have some issues in his post-career life with as well. So it's not going to go away, but he was at a point where he decided he was tired of holding back. And I think you saw that earlier in the year. He decided, the heck with it, just go for it, unload. I'll throw as hard as I can and we'll see what happens. The numbers, the velocity was up. The performance spiked a little bit for about a three-start span there, but then the body just gave out. So I think it was a calculated risk. But I asked Joe Girardi, if he had told you that was his plan, would you have told him not to do it? And he said, no, I would have told him to go for it.
Now, the silver lining, I guess, if there is one, as far as the team goes, is that Sabathia goes down right when Michael Pineda is coming back from the disabled list on the Hill Wednesday. Do you expect him to step right up to where he was, and how much does this team need Michael Pineda down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need him. I mean, they've seen flashes of what he can be. You think back to the Mother's Day 16 strikeout game. I mean, not that you expect that every time out, but he's had kind of an up-and-down season even when he's been healthy. So they need him to get on a consistent run. Girardi said that they could look for him for 80 to 85 pitches against Houston, and then after that you probably think he's right back to the area of 100 pitches, and then you're going to be looking for him to pitch deep in the games. The bullpen has been taxed of late. It's really important for them to get solid starting pitching performances every fourth or fifth day, depending on how they want to do it, and Michael Pineda is going to be a big part of it down the stretch for them.
It seems like they've had these consistent pitching injuries throughout the year, yet they've come at times when they're getting another guy back, and this Yankee team somehow just seems to take on these injuries and keep, you know, trucking along. What is it about this organization that lets them do that, the next guy up kind of mentality?
Well, I think they've relied on their depth a lot more this year. I think that they've got some players at the AAA level who have been able to come up and give contributions. I mean, you think about the way the bullpen has almost been a revolving door. It seems like there's always a new guy coming in, a new guy walking out. Think about how they lost Mark Teixeira for a week this past week, and Greg Bird came out of the minors, and you'd heard the hype about Bird, and obviously we saw him in the spring training. I remember that A-Rod said he was very impressed by him. Brian Cashman said he was the best hitter in the organization. But you never really know until you see it on the big league stage. And so he hit his first couple of big league homers, getting his feet wet there. He's got 11 games under his belt, 12 now. I mean, you see the promise coming forward. So the fact that you can give a guy like Mark Teixeira a week, and even though they tried to get him back in the lineup and it didn't quite take, the fact that you have the depth there and it doesn't kill you, I think that's big, especially when you see these young faces coming up, because it's exciting to start seeing the fruits of the farm system come through, guys like Greg Bird and Luis Severino, and you saw Rob Refsnyder early in the year, and maybe you even see Aaron Judge before the year is out. I'm not sure about that. I would tend to doubt it, but just the fact that they have guys that they can call on now, I think it's been huge for the system.
Yeah, it seems for so many years they didn't have that. Ian, if you want to look at this team and on the bright side of things, they play well in a four-game set with the Royals over the weekend. They dropped the last two games of that series, but it seemed like all four games were winnable. It seems like this team is playing better baseball, but maybe not in the last couple of innings of each game.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the Red Sox don't have a closer right now. Cody Uehara broke his wrist, and if the Red Sox were in a pennant race, that would have been a devastating loss. As it is, it's just making things not look quite as pretty right now. Look, Junichi Tozawa, he's not a closer. It's obvious. You know, every time, it seems like every time he goes out there in the ninth inning, he struggles. You know, some guys are just built to pitch the eighth inning and not the ninth. And I think Junichi falls in that category. You look at that Red Sox roster, and there's really nobody else on that team who's a closer. So, yeah, the ninth inning is going to be dicey. And, you know, to be honest, for the Red Sox for the rest of the season, it's not really about wins and losses. It's about the development of individual players and how they might fit in for Dave Dombrowski and company going forward.
Yeah, obviously Dombrowski has a lot of watching to do and figuring things out. And one thing we saw on Tuesday was Hanley Ramirez working out at first base. And I think that's been a long thought of plan as far as this team or even what fans have thought made sense. Is it starting to become a reality, the thought of Hanley maybe being the first baseman in 2016?
I think so. Look, this is Hanley playing first base makes sense for a number of reasons. The first is that he's not a very good left fielder. I mean, and I'm not going to dock Hanley Ramirez's effort. I think that he came to spring training early. I think he honestly worked at trying to be a good left fielder. I think what's happened is this guy has had knee surgeries in his career, and he's had other ailments, and, you know, just running around in the outfield is just not for him right now. He's been exposed out there. And I think that it's time to put him in the infield. And the other reason why this is good is because, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. has really come on. Ruznick Castillo has really come on. Mookie Betts has been there all year for this team. So you look at a young, exciting outfield of Castillo, Betts, and Bradley. And, you know, Hanley Ramirez would only force a logjam there. So I think even Hanley admitted on Tuesday, look, we're a better team if I can move to first and we can play these three guys in the outfield. So I think that's exciting for the Red Sox, and it's just going to be a matter of, A, how does Hanley respond to another position switch? Hopefully he responds better to first than he did to left, and B, where is his bat? Is his bat going to come back? I mean, I'm more surprised by Hanley Ramirez's lack of offense this year than his lack of defense. His offense since May 1st has been downright pedestrian. I mean, they signed this guy to be an elite hitter, and he hasn't been a good hitter at all this year, you know, since May 1st. So he needs to get his offense back, too.
How much of that do you think could be attributed to the outfield and maybe taking some of his struggles in the outfield with him to the plate?
Yeah, I think that might be some of it. I think Hanley has actually also had a lot of injuries this year that have, you know, he banged his shoulder into the wall the last day of April, and his offense has really gone in a tailspin since. So I think maybe that injury was more serious than he let in on at the time. He's had some other sort of nagging injuries. So I think it's just, it's been a combination of things, but they need this guy. At the money he's making, they need him to be, to mash the baseball. So that's kind of a goal for this team, is to get that, his bat going before the season ends, so they can at least have some hope that he's going to get back to that middle of the order bat they expected for next year.
Well, that kind of brings us to Travis Shaw, a guy that's been brought up and has really hit the ball well and played first base. So when you talk about Hanley Ramirez moving to first base and you have Travis Shaw in the system, one of these prospects, is there a future for Travis Shaw with this team? And is that one of the things David Dombrowski needs to figure out here over the next month?
Yeah, you know, Travis Shaw, you know, they'll see what they have, if nothing else. Look, Travis Shaw's kind of built up some trade value here. And he's a left-handed bat with power. He can play some different positions. So I think that, you know, you could also have a guy like Travis Shaw on your bench, maybe, who could rotate a little bit from first to third to the outfield, maybe sub in at DH for Poppy every now and then. So, yeah, I think Travis Shaw could still have a role with this team, or he could be a chip in the trade. But, yeah, his emergence has been, you know, very good to watch here. And, you know, at the same time, he can't react to a small sample size with Travis Shaw. There have been guys who have just, you know, gotten hot at the right time, and then, you know, you put them out there for a full season, and they just, you know, then teams get a scouting report on them, and they just can't duplicate it. So I think it's still too early to know quite what Travis Shaw is for this team.
Is this one of the biggest series of the season, really, when you look at where the Twins are in this race?
I think so. I think they're all getting to where they're pretty important right now. It's not that time of year where you think you can make it up. It's like you need to be winning 2 out of 3 and hopefully 3 out of 3 when you're playing these teams. But with the Twins right now, they're hoping to get away with that 2 out of 3 since they lost last night.
Yeah, they lose the opener. Nathan Carnes, not great, going just 3 innings. So they lean on their ace, who's been the ace all year long, in Chris Archer on Wednesday night. Has he become the guy as the ace of this staff that in a big spot coming off a loss, you just expect a big outing from him?
Well, he sure did last week. In fact, last week he was so good that I was telling some people that shows you how much luck is involved in a no-hitter or a perfect game, because, you know, I've seen no-hitters where guys have far less stuff than he had the other night. I mean, 98 pitches, strikes out 11, allows one hit, walks one. I mean, that's about as good as it gets.
Then after they're done with the Twins, the Royals coming up over the weekend. So things don't get any easier for the Rays, but I guess if you're going to play your way into the playoffs, you need to beat the best.
Of course, you'd rather not be the Royals, because I'll tell you one thing. Of all the teams I've seen in person this year, they were at leaps and bounds the best team I've seen. I have not seen the Cardinals. The Rays did not play them in the interleague this year. But and I do think when the Rays played the Royals out in Kansas City, the Royals were really on at the top of their game. But they really know how to do what they do well.
Bill, besides losing the game on Tuesday night, some key injuries as well coming out of that one, as Desmond Jennings with the injury, Kirk Casale tweaks a hamstring on Tuesday. Any updates on how those guys are and how those injuries are going to affect this team in the series?
No updates yet. We're supposed to get an update on Casale. He had an MRI this morning, but I would be very surprised if there's not a new catcher sitting in the clubhouse when we get there. That's just a position where you can't sit around with just one guy. So, I would expect they to bring up JT Arencibia or Luke Maley from AAA Durham. As far as Jennings goes, they could probably let him sit a couple of days if they need quiet down a little bit. But I definitely expect to see a new catcher in there.
Tough timing as well for Casale. He's been so great since the break for this club. Actually, the injury occurred on a home run in Tuesday night's game. He has 9 home runs in the second half. How big a lift has he given this team offensively out of that catcher's spot? Because that's a spot where this team hasn't gotten a lot of production over the last couple of years.
Well, if you look at last year's catching situation when they had Ryan Hannigan, who was hurt a lot, and Jose Molina, I mean, you know, they made the Mendoza line look like Ted Williams. So anything they get offensively from catching is a big deal. And here's a guy, Casale, who really just kind of changed his approach from seeing the contact hit instead of looking more for his pitch, and when he gets his pitch, you know, take a rip at it. I mean, he's a big guy, so if he does run into one, it's going to go. And that approach has paid off well for him and the Rays. But, you know, now it looks like they'll probably be without him for at least 2 weeks.
So you expect him to end up on the DL from this injury?
I would be shocked if he wouldn't.
Other injuries with the Rays, obviously Jake McGee out with the torn meniscus. Is there a chance he's back with this team? Do you expect to see him later in September, or is that kind of wishful thinking?
I expect to see him in the last week of September if the Rays are still playing meaningful games. If not, there's really no reason to bring him back. He said he felt pretty good yesterday. You know, they cleaned it up. It wasn't as bad as what the MRI at first indicated. So, you know, he said he might be throwing as early as next week. But, you know, I think the latter part of September last week is probably the most optimistic you can be on that.
How do they fill that void and fill out that bullpen without McGee?
Well, interestingly, right at that moment, Alex Colome has really stepped up to be what appears to be a late inning guy. And, you know, this could bode well for the Rays long term, because he's always had good stuff. But as a starter, you know, you would get it one night, not the next start. So, you know, last week, I know when I was in Houston, when he came in late, he struck out the side on 10 pitches. And, you know, just, and the funny thing was, you know, he's a 95-mile-an-hour guy, but only two of them were fastballs. So he's got a little something going right now. And it just hit the right time, because I think he could fill the void by McGee. And, of course, you got some other things going there, too. Brandon Gomes has really got the hot hand. You know, he's got about a perfect game going right now in 27 innings of not being scored upon. They did bring up Eddy Romero to kind of clean up probably the long innings, which is kind of where Colome was earlier in the season. But don't miss McGee.
Brittany, obviously a rough stretch for the Orioles. 6 straight losses heading into Wednesday's action. Tough one on Monday night with Ubaldo Jimenez, then Tuesday night, Miguel Gonzalez with some struggles. Let's talk about Gonzalez, and the control issues seem to still be there. The walk-to-strikeout rate, not at all what you want. What exactly is wrong with Miguel Gonzalez?
I don't think anybody knows. He swears he's healthy, although this stretch here, he's had 9 of 12 starts where he hasn't been able to go more than 5 1/3 innings. And that stretch is since he came back from the DL with a right groin strain. So he said last night that physically he feels okay. He's just been off, and it's been a really long stretch for him to be off. I know the Orioles are concerned, but they don't have really any other options. So they're going to have to continue to run him out there and hope that he figures things out. So it's been very puzzling, because he's been so consistent for them. Usually he's been kind of the guy you can depend on, and that has not been the case.
I think the amazing thing here is, despite 6 straight losses, this team's still very much alive in that wild card race. Is there a sense that the team feels almost lucky at this point, and there's still plenty to get turned around here in September?
I don't know if they feel lucky. I think that they kind of think that they missed an opportunity here. I mean, if they had played even .500 over the 6-game stretch, there's a chance they could be that second wild card team right now. So I think they feel like it's been a big missed opportunity. And, of course, they're going to go to Texas and play Texas in some big, meaningful games after they finish up these 2 games left here in Kansas City. So it's a really big road trip for them. I think they feel like no matter what, they have to get the ball rolling in the right direction. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. If they keep losing games, they're not going to the postseason. So, yes, it's been certainly their advantage. They haven't lost too much ground on one hand. But on the other, if they had played just a little bit better, perhaps they'd be kind of up at the top looking down at the rest of these wild card hopefuls.
Obviously, the team depended a lot on the bullpen in Tuesday night's game. And Michael Givens, great again, and he's been great. A 1.26 ERA heading into Wednesday's action. What's impressed you the most about this guy who's getting a chance on the mound after, I think, he wasn't always a pitcher throughout his career?
Yes, that's right. He was a converted shortstop. So really what impresses me is how little time he's actually spent pitching and how successful he's been at the big league. His arm angle action is just a unique slot He throws upper 90s at times, and he's really kind of baffling to other teams. And he's had at least one strikeout now in all 10 of his appearances. That's tied for third on the Orioles' all-time list among rookie relievers. So he's really, really thrown the ball well. He's certainly been a bright spot for them. And he's been a guy who I think can factor in come September and really be a back end of the bullpen guy for them down the stretch. And the key, of course, is putting him in a game when they have the lead. Obviously, the offense and the starting pitching haven't been up to snuff, but this bullpen, year after year, it seems that they create these really, really good bullpens, and Michael Givens is another example of a really good young pitcher.
This has been MLB.com Extra's look inside the American League East. Tune in again next week.